I have had the privilege of pastoring this church for 7.5 years. And this morning is one of those mornings that it's hard for me to breathe because I don't have a sermon. I don't have notes. I don't have an outline to give you. I don't have 6 points. And it isn't because I haven't tried. The last 2 or 3 days, I have sat down yesterday all day long. I would get up and I would sit and I would write. And after I got through, it just wasn't right and it wasn't what God wanted me to do. And so I went to bed last night about 9:30 with nothing and woke up this morning about 5:30, laid in bed about 45 minutes. Father, what are you saying? What are you saying? Nothing. Went walking. Got to my father's point. Every day I'm walking a little bit further. For those of you that are familiar, I've had back issues, back 2 surgeries, and every day I'm walking a little bit further. And when I get to my father's point in the middle of the road, I just lift up my hands and worship. And it becomes a place of worship for me because it's God answering my prayer. And so I got to that place this morning at another stop sign, a further away from my house, and I just worshiped. And when I got through, I went, Lord, I'm the pastor. I'm going to be sitting in front of my church this morning, and I don't know what to say. And so got back, sat down in my chair outside and had my quiet time and was just looking for him, not looking for a sermon. And he has visited me. I don't even know how to explain it. And I just enjoyed him. And so this morning, I felt released to sort of spontaneously talk to you out of overflow this morning of some of the amazing things I feel like God's doing in my life, and to teach, maybe to share, and even a couple of the things that I've thought of, I may or may not, even as I was standing there, I may or may not say. So let me pray. For those of you that are not comfortable right now, know that I'm the most uncomfortable guy in the room. We like structure, don't we? We like predictability. We like to trust in ourselves, and we like to put God on the end of it. I trust you, Lord. I trust in me, to you to help me. And so I want to pray a very genuine prayer this morning. Father, in the next few minutes, you knew who was going to be gathered here today. And you know what they need to hear. And you know what I need to say. And so I guess I would just say it this, Lord. I surrender the entirety of my life to you right now. My mind, my thoughts. And I just ask that in the next few minutes before we receive communion, that you would just speak to us in some way. In Christ's name, amen. I want to say one more thing about, I want to make the transition from trying with all my heart to be a Spirit-led pastor, a Spirit-led communicator. And for those of you that are new to our church, what that means is that Henry Blackaby taught a principle in a book 25 years ago called Experiencing God. And he wrote a principle in there. He says, you know, the truth is we need to learn how to change the way we think about God, because most of the time we get an idea and then we ask God to come bless it. We ask God to prosper it. He said, and somewhere we've gotten that upside down. And the truth is, we really need to walk with God in such a way that we hear what his idea is, and then we submit to that. And then when we submit to that, then his blessings follow that. And that's really upside down for us most of the time, because we don't want to go through the process. It's a lot easier to come up with our idea and plan and then say, okay, Father, because I'm your son, bless me. And I want to take 1 second and tell you, for those of you that are new to our church, I long to be a Spirit-led pastor. In my preaching, every week I go through this process of trying to hear what God's saying to me and what God's saying to our house, and then preparing and teaching. And most of the time by Thursday, I already know in my mind, even though nothing's on paper, I know what his thought is. I know what his thus saith the Lord. And the adventure for me then is to go through the process with the Lord of, how do you want me to say that? What is it that you're wanting to teach? It may be a text that has just been on my heart for a month and it's been marinating. And out of that text, I teach. And so this morning, I just want to address the fact that I believe that if you have received Christ, that when you receive Christ, you received a spirit. Okay? His Holy Spirit. And in the Old Testament, the king or the man of God or the one who was leading would have to wait for a prophet, another person to hear what God said, come to him and tell him what God said. And it would be the fact that God would use prophets in the Old Testament to speak to the country or to the king. But all of that changed when Christ ascended to the Father. All of that changed on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. And so now, if you're here, I want to just tell you, I want to teach you. And all of my youth, look at me real quick. I know that you got a lot of stuff going on. I want you to hear me say this. The Lord wants to speak to you personally. He wants you to know His voice. He wants you to not only know Him, but sort of be led by Him, to follow Him, to walk after Him. And then you're gonna receive direction for what to do and how to live. And all of that's going to be Him leading. There's a scripture that God gave me. For those of you that are note takers and you got your notebooks out and you're like, doggone it, I'm not going to have an outline. Let me go ahead and give you a verse right now. Psalm 32:8. Psalm 32:8 has become right up there with Romans 8:28 for me. And this is what the Word of God says. God speaking, says, I will guide you along the best pathways for your life. That's what God's promise to you is. He said, so don't be like a horse that has to have a bridle in his mouth, but be surrendered. Be tender to my voice. And Richard, I just want to go ahead and tell you, man, the things that are coming up next year, the Lord knows what you need to do. And as you're surrendered to that, He knows whether you're supposed to move, whether Hunter's supposed to go with you, whether all the dynamics going on in your life right now that seems like in turmoil. I want to say this to you. God's not in turmoil. He's not confused. He's not lost. You may feel lost. You feel like, I don't have all the pieces of the puzzle. I don't know what to do. Everybody look at me that you're at a crossroads in your life. And when I say a crossroads of your life, that means you feel the pressure to pick up your foot and go somewhere, but you have no idea where you're going. I want you to hear me. God knows where He wants to lead you. Because He knows the beginning of your life and the end of your life. And He says, I will guide you along the best pathways for your life. Now, everybody hear me. That may not be what you think is the best pathway. I am a living testimony of that. I am wanting to write off 2014. I'm just here to tell you, I've been in a battle. At times, I feel like for my life, the last 5 months, this could not have been the best pathway for my life. But the thing about God is that His idea of what the best pathway for your life is not always what your idea of best pathway for your life is. But this is what He promises you and promises me, that as we surrender to Him and walk with Him, and when you sit with Him and you listen to Him and you know His voice, He promises to speak to us and He promises to guide us along the best pathways for your life. And so if you find yourself in a position of transition and you don't know whether to go forward, go backwards, you sort of feel like God's saying this, He will also confirm it to you. He will give you tokens. I call them breadcrumbs. And there'll be these, you'll hear a song, you'll have somebody say something. And I don't believe the primary way that God speaks to you is through someone, but God can still use someone. Most of the time, it's Him speaking first person and the secondary voice is confirmation. There's still the role of prophet where God uses prophets to speak into people's lives. But I guess I would want to say to you, as I am sharing with you today, that He has put me in a vulnerable place where He says, Andy, trust me to give you the words in the moment. I want you to hear Him say to you, trust me because I know where you're at. You're not lost. He's not confused. And He says, so when you surrender, submit yourself to Him, He says, and you're not going to have to be like a horse with a bridle that he just has to turn hard left or right. He says, I'm going to gently guide you by touching the brush. He said, I'm going to brush your neck. It's like a rider just brushing the neck of the horse with the reins, and you just turn right or you turn left. And somebody will say something to you. How did you know to do that? You ever have somebody ask you that? I was having a lady share with me beforehand that every time her and her husband go to a restaurant, she said, this is what God's doing right now. Every time God leads me to a restaurant, he allows me to know someone I'm supposed to bless. And sometime during my encounter in the restaurant, I'll make eye contact with them and the Lord will just go, that's the one. by their meal, speak to them, encourage them. And just, it's this awareness that God has appointed people and places and times. And so, Willie and Nicole, I want to say this to you. God knows what he's doing with this. Trust him. And we have a temptation that when we get into this place of putting it out there and saying, okay, God, speak to me, lead me, then there is a part of us at times that wants to pull back, get back into places of safety. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I had rather be a little bit out of his will and sort of standing on some ground that I'm familiar with than totally out here trusting him. Now, listen to your pastor. The economy of God operates in faith. And faith means you trust him. Faith means that you believe that he is worthy of being trusted. So if you find yourselves in a place of transition and it seems like all of the tethers are being cut and you're like, wow, where the wind blows might be where I go, then there is a part of his kingdom and his way that's like that. There's a part of life in the spirit. Nicodemus came and says, okay, I know that you're a great teacher. Could you just tell me, I got questions. And Jesus says, how can I talk to you about things of God and things of the spirit when you don't even understand the wind? And how I want to talk to you of the kingdom, but I can't talk to you of the natural. You don't understand how the wind blows. And Nicodemus is like, okay, all that stuff. And Jesus said, well, a man must be born again. And Nicodemus finally goes, could you just put this in my terms so that I can put you in my religious box? So that you're safe and I'm safe and I know who you are and I know how this works. And, you know, and Jesus said, you're not ready yet. You don't have to just be born of this world. You have to be born in my world. And for those of you that are a place where God's calling you out to trust him, I want you to be encouraged today. You're in an incredibly safe place. You're in the most dangerous place you've ever been in your life. Don't get me wrong, but you're so safe because you will be in the middle of his will. And someone will say something to me like this. Well, what if I get it wrong? Because I'm surrendered and I'm listening. And I don't know if Isaac and Debbie are here today. Are Isaac and I don't think I saw them this morning. I want to use them. I was going to ask them for permission. I don't have to. The Lord's will. Debbie came up to me. For those of you that don't know Isaac and Debbie Davis, when I grow up, I want to be like both of them. Amen. I do. I long to be. With the wisdom and the heart that they have. Debbie serves, as does Margaret and Jan and Bill and John. I can just go down the list of all the people that serve on our Thursdays at our food pantry. And oh yeah, by the way, we're in need of some food. If you want to help, on your way out, our ushers are going to give you a little plastic bag today. And we want to give you that so that you can put it in your car or take it home to be remindful. The next time you go grocery shopping, buy another bag for us. To be able to give out. We're serving almost 50 or 60 people every Thursday that are representing almost 200 family members. And we just need canned goods. Anything canned goods, beans, anything that you can think of that's non-perishable. We're going to ask you to help. But Debbie serves on Thursdays. And it's going to take just a second for me to tell the story. But 2 weeks ago, she came up to me and she said, I've got to talk to you right now. I said, okay. She said, I went to see Jan Pardue, and Jan's a lady in our church that's going through some real major health issues right now. And she said, I went to see Jan last night and just to spend some time sitting with her. And when I got home, she said, for about an hour and a half, it was like God just visited me. And all I could do was pray for her and intercede for her. And if you know Debbie, she's very quiet. Very reserved. And the more she was talking about this encounter, she started talking faster and louder. And I'm sitting here watching this. And she said, and Andy, she said, at the end of it, I just felt like the Lord told me to blow 3 times. And at the end, I just went, phew. And she said, I just blew 3 times. She said, and the Lord's never done that. And I want you to know, I want to ask you a question. Do you think I'm like weird? What do I do with that? And the good thing about pastors with self-control is we don't say what we're thinking. Because there's a part of me that's going, yeah, that's pretty weird. But you can tell she's trembling as she's sharing this. Trembling. And I said, well, if you want to hear what I think in my heart, what if this is the Lord preparing you to pray over her and her to be healed? What if that's it? And no kidding, the moment I said that, Cecil, Jan's husband, walked through the door. And I looked at Debbie, and Debbie looked at me and like, this is freaky. And Cecil walks through the door. Cecil and Jan, are y'all here? Good. Cecil walks in. I know that I'm really glad that he's not here. Cecil walks in, and when he comes over to me and Debbie, he just starts weeping. Tears start coming down his face. And I looked at him. I said, buddy, you okay? And he said, I'm so overwhelmed, I don't know what to do. For those of you that have spouses, if you've ever had your spouse walk through pain that is so great that you carry the weight of that and you were overwhelmed with the length of their season or the magnitude of their season, there are no words to tell you what it feels like for the one that's not hurting and the sense of hopelessness they feel because they can't heal. They can't solve it. Especially for men, we can't fix it. I walked for 10 years with my wife through this, and there's this hopelessness, and that's how he felt. And Cecil comes over. Now, I'm going to get back all the way to my point. You ready? I'm coming back to it. And I said, I turned around as soon as I saw Cecil. I said, Debbie, I'm not telling you this is the Lord, but I think you're supposed to follow Cecil back to the house. I said, Cecil, are you going anywhere? He said, well, I'm on my way home now. I said, I think Debbie's supposed to follow you over there, and I just think she's supposed to pray for Jan. And they left together, and you could just tell Debbie's like, okay, this is like really weird. And Cecil's leaving like, okay, that was like really weird. Now, I want you to hear your pastor. I sat in front of Jan's house on her little brick wall this morning because every morning when I walk, I go to their house and I sit on the brick wall and I pray over her. Debbie went and prayed, but Jan is not healed yet. And this is how the enemy will work when you are led by God's Spirit. Well, if I heard that, Debbie, for an hour and a half in my home, and then I step out in faith and step out in obedience, then that should always work. And we get really discouraged when we do something in obedience, and then we go, well, there was no fruit there. There was no response there. God, you didn't do that the way I thought. And there's a part of us that goes back and says, well, I'm not going to do that again. You have no idea what was really going on, because oftentimes we walk by sight, not only in stepping out in faith, but also on the other side, and we judge that which can only be judged in eternity. So being Spirit-led, many of the times you may not see the response in this world. I'm grateful that many times we do. Could somebody say amen? Many times we see God respond as our faith meets His grace. Our faith meets His power. Our faith meets His provision. And many times we go, bam, bam, bam. And we just go to that place. And it's like, this is holy ground. God, I worship you. Look at what you just did through my hands. Well, I want to present to you today, what if we worshiped Him even if we didn't see, but we believed? And we didn't walk by sight, but we walked by faith. And we said, you know, Lord, I don't really know what to do with that, because I just believe that, here it is, you should respond this way to my actions. And many times God doesn't respond when you are being led by His Spirit the way that you think He should. And you have to, I want to go back to what I was teaching you last week. I was teaching on prayer last week and how it's not just the duty of the church. You are being invited in to know the God of the universe, to know His voice and to have access to Him and a relationship with Him. And as a response to that, then you will know His Spirit, and you'll know how He leads, and you'll sort of walk behind Him and know Him. And I want to remind you this morning that oftentimes He leads us in places that we would never go, but that doesn't mean that He's not still doing something. The Apostle Paul experienced this many times. He had his his plans changed often. They were on one missionary journey in Acts chapter 16 where he was leading his guys to go to Asia Minor. And the Bible says, and the Holy Spirit said, no. I know what your plans are, but no. And so they were headed toward Asia Minor, and then all of a sudden Paul heard a no, and then he had a vision from a Macedonian man, and he turned around and they went from Asia Minor to go now toward Philippi. And there's a part. Don't you know the guys with Paul said, I don't know if I want to follow him. Here it is. Because one day he says we're going here, and the next day he says we're not going there. Now we're changing paths. If you're going to be spirit-led, you cannot have pride. Because pride will cause you to care more about the opinions of people than the opinions of God. Those of you taking notes, that would be a good note to write down. If you are being spirit-led, you cannot operate in pride. Because you're going to have to go back and go, yeah, I thought that's what God was doing, but that's not it. But that may have got me to here. And in that process, the Bible says that Paul spoke to him that he was to go see Caesar. And he is now changing course even later to head through circumstances to see Caesar. And he was going to give a case before the leader of the world empire. And now all of a sudden he's headed that way, and he comes to a church meeting, and a prophet stands up and says, God has shown me in my spirit, Paul, that you're going to be put in bounds there. When you get to Jerusalem, you're going to get put in bounds and tied up. And he actually tied himself up, and he says, so I believe that I see this. And the church members begin to go, yeah, our spirit bears witness. Our spirit bears witness. So this must be the will of God. You're not supposed to continue on your journey. God is using us seeing to keep you from being harmed. And Paul got through and he says, I love you. And I hear you. And you are confirmation, but I still got to go. And there's a part of you that's going to have to tell well-meaning, mature, spirit-filled other believers that have not heard what you hear, in all due respect, I know what I heard. Now, if I could take just liberty for a moment, I'd a lot rather be led by my own mind and be so determined that I'm going to make this work out. Does anybody else? Am I in the right place? Because the truth is, it's easier for me to trust me than to trust God. Because I'm like visible. Like he's not. Like I have like tangible realities right here that can validate my reasoning. And sometimes, oftentimes, most of the time, when you walk in the Spirit and walk in the ways of God, most of the time, you have nothing to give someone that they would think you're sane. Or reasonable, but you know in your heart, the Lord prompted me. And now I have to trust him, and that may mean that I may look a little foolish. If I could just share one thought, I don't like operating like that. I like operating out of my strength. Could somebody else say amen? I like operating out of my cognitive superiority, that I know better than you do, that I'm smarter than you. Does anybody, by the way, you think you're smarter than the person sitting beside you right now? Go ahead and say, I think I'm smarter than you. You've been thinking that for a long time, but you ain't been able to say it. It's the truth, though. That's why you fight with them all the time. Patty, go ahead and look at Rebecca and say, I think I'm smarter than you. Now, we know she hadn't believed that for 24 years, has she? She still don't believe that. Now follow your pastor for one second. Because we think we're smarter, we don't like being weaker with God. We don't like having to trust him. And we all say we want to trust him. We all say we do trust him. But the truth is, I like operating out of my strength. And if there's one thing I can tell you that I'm really, really sure that God's done to me in 2014, he has crushed me. Like, Andy, what you think you can do, let me just smash it. And he is, there's parts of me that he is destroying, present tense. And if I could take you back for just one second, I'll explain this to you. When I was in the hospital, I went in the hospital in April, and turned out I had major staff, had to have a second back surgery. And I would have people come in, some of you in this room that visited me or that brought me a gift or cared over me. I don't know where Tanya's at. Tanya Lamb, here's the word of God. She brought me like 10 bags of gummy bears. That's like somebody who hears from God. But I would have people that love me come in, and two or three, not everybody, two or three people would say something like this. Pastor, I'm so sorry you're hurting, but I want to encourage you that the Lord's put you up here to really minister to people. Just be reminded that he's working these things out. And by the way, when you're broken, you want to sort of hit that person. Can I get angry for just a second? I love y'all. Those of you that came and brought your 25-cent Christian cliche and rub this on, Pastor, and you're going to be okay. I wasn't okay. And it's not, the Word of God's not a magical potion, a genie in a bottle that you just read this. And now listen to me as I say that mockingly. The Word of God gets in us and it worketh in us. But it's also Spirit-led. And it's Spirit-timed. Because there's a lot of times God's got a word for you, but you ain't ready for it. And he's got to keep getting you ready, and then when you're ready, then you're ready. And so one of the things that was really frustrating to me is that I wasn't able to be like Paul and Silas, strapped against the limestone wall, worshiping God in the middle of my pain. I was curled up in a fetal position asking for more pain medicine. That was my glory. Many days I wasn't embracing my pain. I was enduring it 1 hour at a time. And I'm laying in bed thinking, God, this is not the way that I could be a pastor on 4 East at the medical center. If you will get me to the point where I can get above this, then that nurse that comes in, my whole conversation won't be about my pain. It'll be about, well, how are you doing? See, I had no capacity to care how she was doing. Some of you are, does anybody know what I'm talking about? When you get so broken, so beat down, Dave, when you said Romans 12:9 today, don't just love people, really love them. Well, what do you do when you don't have the capacity to love them? When you are so broken, disappointed, rejected, battling accusation, when it seems like you've been stolen from, when you feel like everything's against you, and every time you get your head above water, it seems like you're pushed back down. There are times when it's just not pretty. I want to go back to what I said to start this off, and then we're going to have communion. We're going to close and just give me just a couple more minutes. We reach these moments, these points in our life when we are at that place when we know we're not operating in strength. And I just don't want to be like that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But yet that is his way oftentimes. 2 Corinthians 1 said, having met the God of all comfort, now I am able to comfort others. In my brokenness, I can now care about the other broken person, not out of arrogance, but now out of a heartfelt sympathy. I have a connectivity now to the, when you've buried someone, now you have a care for someone who is burying someone. Every time I ride by the funeral home and I see cars, I don't care where I'm going or what I'm doing, I stop and I start praying for that family. The only reason I do that is because I know what it feels like to be in that lead hearse. You understand what I'm saying? But we don't want to have to go through that breaking process to really be in a position to be used by God. We want to be used in our strength. Why? So we can glory in our strength. So others can acknowledge, man, they're strong. They're good. And the Bible just teaches that Paul wrote to the letter of Romans. He says, I want to go ahead and let you know that God uses the weak things of the world to confound the wise. He uses the broken things to confound those that are whole. He uses the abased things, the things that are bankrupt and in poverty, to challenge those that are walking in wealth. And even when you feel like you have nothing to give, you still have something to give. As a matter of fact, when you feel like you have nothing to give, that's usually the time you're most qualified to have something to give. So my wife and I, we had a next door neighbor while I was at the hospital, and he was a yeller. He yelled all the time. We found out he was involved in a motorcycle wreck, really beat up. And matter of fact, on our third day up there, no, it was later than that, probably a week after we'd been up there, because I was finally able to get up and walk 25 yards, turn around, come back. We walked by his room one time, and it almost went to a knee because he had not been able to control his bowels. And I don't know how to explain it, but the room was just covered in defecation. And we were like, literally, for 10, 20 feet, you could smell it. So when we turned around, I'm like, you get 20 feet away, you're like, got by my room and shut our door. I mean, that he was in really bad shape. And he was just, if somebody, a friend or family member wasn't there, he would just start yelling for the nurse, and I'm hurting, and it was just like this. For some of you that visited, you heard him. And all I can tell you is he was real rough looking, and his guests sometimes were real rough looking. And we had been up there, I guess, about day 12, and I'm walking down the hall a little bit better, and I'm walking with Patty, and we got to his door, and I looked in, and there was only one guy with him. And I went to knock on the door and open the door, and Patty goes, "No." And I'm like, "Yes." I pushed on the door and knocked, and I walked in, and he's sitting there in the bed, and a guy friend was with him, and I said, "Hey, I want to introduce myself to you. My name's Andy, and I happen to be next door." And he looked up at me, and I said, "I don't want to intrude on your space," but I said, "As I was walking down the hallway, I felt like God told me to stop in and tell you a story." And I said, "Before I tell you a story, can I ask you a question? Are you a Christian? Have you ever believed in Christ?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Okay, I know I'm supposed to tell you the story." And I told him the story about Jesus telling his disciples to get into the boat and go to the other side. And I got to the point where the storm had become so violent that the boat was filled with the water. And he was taking the buckets, and they were taking the buckets. And I looked at him, and I said, "Dante, that's me and you right now." I said, "My boat's full, buddy." And I said, "I've been listening to you for over 10 days now. Your boat's full." And I said, "But the Lord, when I was walking by, told me to tell you, come to tell you this story, because I wanted to tell you, your boat's not going under. And the Lord wanted me to tell you, you're going to make it to the other side." And when I told him that, big tears became on his eyes, and he started crying. And I sat down beside him. I said, "Would it be okay for me to pray for you? I don't know you." And he said, "Yeah, that would be great." And I prayed with him. The next night, 4:30 in the morning, he's yelling, top of his lungs. I look over at Patty, and she's sound asleep. And I got these things, these prison things on my legs. Okay, they blow up, and they drive you crazy all night long. And I'm looking at them, and I'm looking at the fact I got an IV with 48 cables connected to me. I got heart monitors, and he's yelling. And the Lord says, and I don't know another way to say this. The Lord, I don't know how to tell you this, because you're going to go, "He is like a weird guy." The Lord said, "Take him a Krispy Kreme donut." The Lord's my witness. And I look over, and no kidding, I open the box, and there's like 3 or 4 Krispy Kremes left. And somebody else heard the will of God to bring me Krispy Kreme donuts. I open the box, and I go, but like, I'm in shackles. And I reached down and my back, I had surgery, I couldn't even bend over, and I just like started kicking the stuff off. And all I can tell you is I broke prison. I got out of there, unplugged everything, unplugged it all, and I'm like walking down my IV in my underwear and a t-shirt. He's just next door. I'm not kidding. I'm like, open the door, I'm like, and I got my donut in one hand and IV in the other. And I go around the corner and I open the door and he's just yelling. And I said, Dante, it's Andy. And it was dark and I opened the door and I got in there and I realized his sister was laying on the bed. And she just picked up and like, who is the white guy in the underwear with a Krispy Kreme? She looked up at me and put her head back down, and I'm like, I sat down on the bed and I said, hey, buddy, it's a bad night, ain't it? He says, it's the worst. I said, well, I want to feed you a donut. And he looked up at me at 4:30 in the morning like, what's this guy doing? And I said, but I'm going to eat some too if that's all right. So no kidding, I tore a piece of the donut off, and I said, here you go. He just opened his mouth like a bird. I fed him, and I fed me a piece, and I fed him a piece. We ate the whole thing. And I said, could I tell you another story? And he said, yeah. I told him another story. And when I got through, if my musician can come, when I got through, I went back and laid in bed, and I wept because I knew God had used me. He used me in a time that I thought I had nothing to offer anybody. Zero. Zero. And that's the way I have felt for, that's the way I have felt 2014. I'm just amazed that you guys are still allowing me to be pastor, because that's how I have felt. Because for me, in my mind, I am a good pastor when I am strong, confident, bold, together. And he's teaching me, no, you're a good pastor when you're just surrendered. Just surrendered. And I just want to speak to somebody's life today that's broken right now. I mean, you're broken. You're wounded. You're lost without... Did you know how easy it is to get lost? And I'm not talking about like prodigal son lost. Somebody may be here, you're lost in sin and you're away from God's house. Today is the day of restoration for you, because he still comes to seek and to save that which is lost. But many of us just get lost when everything ain't ordered and planned and working according to our plan. And so when it doesn't work, we feel lost. We feel like we don't fit in. We feel like we don't have anything to offer. We feel more broken than together. We feel more dysfunctional than functional. You got more crazy in your family than you got sane. You're living with that person and you know, man, this is the rest of the deal. You know, you just feel that way. And this is what I felt like as I'm speaking. Not planned, not ordered yesterday by my outline. This is what I feel like the Lord wanted me to tell you. He's got you in a perfect place to learn of him. To learn of him. He knows what it feels like to be betrayed, because Judas kissed him on the cheek. Somebody in here has been betrayed, and you can't get past the fact that you can't trust anymore. What if, I don't want to be super theological, what if God is working this out in you through broken ways and broken people and fallen people? By the way, he knows what it means to be falsely accused. He knows what it means to be doubted. He knows what it means have everybody forget him and to feel so alone. And in your weakness and in that place, you just don't feel loved. You don't feel worthy. And today I knew the one thing I was supposed to do is to bring communion. I knew we were supposed to give an opportunity for communion. Because the one thing that this reminds me of is the fact that He knows me. All of my brokenness, all of my weakness, all of my fragility, all... I want to go back, Dave. God used you today to paint this picture of us. We're just this bride that is never good enough. But because that's the way we see ourselves. And I would venture to say that on Thursday, when this young man looks at his wife on Thursday morning before she ever gets up and does her hair and puts her makeup on and ever gets in the nice outfit, he's going to look at her and love her just as much then as he did Saturday, because it's how he sees her. And this is what I want you to hear today, that if you're broken and undone, that the Lord, the Father, sees you through the blood and the body that was sacrificed for you. And so what we do then is we receive that. I don't know another word to say it. I receive His strength when I am weak. I receive His wholeness when I am broken. I receive His love when I am unlovable. I receive the fact He esteems me highly when I feel unworthy, because of what I've done, or because of the condition, or because of the season. For whatever reason, you feel like, who am I? What do I have to offer? I just bring my big ball of yarn that's so messed up. And all I can tell you is, He knew all of that and He still loved you. He knew how you got here. He knows how you got here. He sees all of that and He still cares. And that's the part I cannot explain. That's the part that is the scandal of grace. Could somebody say amen? It is a scandal that I am that way and He still offered His life for me. It's way more about Him than it is me. It's way more about His love than my condition. When we receive communion, it is worship, because we see who He is and what He's done for us. And we receive it by faith. We receive it by faith. His body that was broken, that my life can ultimately be made whole and complete. Here's the thing I want you to hear. If you're broken and undone, He doesn't want you to stay that way. It may be a season, it may be a chapter, but it's the Lord's desire that you would be healthy, that you would be whole, that you would prosper, that God's hand that you would be strong. It's you're passing through that. You're not going to live like this the rest of your life. He was broken that we could be made whole. Could somebody say amen? And His blood was offered that we could be being saved. I was saved the day that I believed. I am being saved right now, and I will be saved. Why? Because of who He is and what He did for me. Some days I come into this church and we come to communion and I'm like, yes, I am so ready to worship Him today. And then there are other times that I feel like I think I should be the last person to get to the table, because I know what I've done, or I know how I feel, or I'm struggling to even believe that He loves me. And I just go, I don't know if I even want to do this today. I love the fact that He loves me when I'm running to it and when I'm struggling to get there. It's called grace. So I want to offer you this opportunity to bring yourself to the communion table, the Lord's Supper, and remember who He is and what He did for you. And you simply receive it. Father, my prayer goes something like this. Thank You for Your stripes, whereby I am healed. And thank You for Your blood that was poured out until You died, that I could have eternal life and life in this world. and I receive. For those of you that are guests of ours today, we offer open communion. What that means is that you don't have to be a member of Christ Chapel to receive communion. The only requisite, prerequisite, is that you be saved. That you, having received Christ, receive the sacrifice and the remembrance. And so this is how we're going to do it. If today, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come and to take your elements and go to back to your table and to build your own altar. And to take and receive communion when you're ready. And Jimmy's going to lead some worship, and we're going to just sort of sit for a minute, and then when everybody's served, and we'll come up and close and give God thanks. So let me pray. Father, all I can say today is thank you for bailing me out. That's what I feel like. Because you didn't show me anything I was supposed to do until I sat in that chair. And I want to go on record one more time. I don't like that. But you always bail us out. You always are sufficient for us. And so today, God, I just simply come and I give you thanks in front of this family of friends. For every good gift in my life comes from you. And today I want to remember that. And I want to enjoy that. And I want to receive that by faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're welcome when you receive your communion to stay and linger at the altar if you want to, or to go back to your chair. We're going to take about 5 minutes to serve everybody. We've got elements here and in the middle of the congregation in those tables. And to the right here, if you happen to be dietary, have issues, we've got gluten-free right here on my left, your right, the last table. We've got gluten-free bread for you. And we'll come and receive. And by the way, talk to him when you receive your elements. Talk to him. At this time, we'll allow you the privilege of being served.